There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There. Welcome to episode 54 of the AI Comic Pod, brought to you by the Anfield Index. Happy New Year, everyone. Sorry it's been a while. We haven't really done anything since like the start of December, but between family and work and Christmas and food, we've basically been dead for the last few weeks. This one's been a little bit later than we planned on doing it, but we finally need to get round to reviewing Justice League. Probably going to be the most disagreements that you'll ever hear Rory and I have. Because we do have a lot of disagreements, but you just don't get to hear them.
Essentially.
We tend to have a lot of, you know, agreements in terms of films, and they're very much, we like the same thing, we don't like the same thing. But I don't know if we've reviewed anything that's been as divisive as Justice League's proven to be so far. If anything, we've tried to avoid talking about it, because
yeah,
we've just been arguing.
Essentially, it's like it's the thing that could have broken us if we weren't just a little bit, well, I don't know if we're mature enough, but a little
I'm
bit
so mature. You take that back.
If we cared enough about these films, at the end of the day, you like this film, you don't love it, it's not your favorite film of all time, and equally it's not my worst film of all time. That does probably belong to Batman and Robin and will remain that way for a very long time. And it's just one of those things. It is divisive. I got a little bit fiery on Twitter a couple of times because I didn't like people telling me my opinion's wrong. And, no one really likes that on Twitter because you're there to express your opinion. So it seems strange.
Sometimes opinions are wrong, like yours.
You know, I'm happy to be told otherwise when maybe I've got a daft opinion or someone's given me, you know, something to talk about.
So basically, this might be our last episode.
Yeah, it might.
Depending on how the next hour and 10 minutes goes, this could well be our swan song. So we better make it a good one. I have to get some really good swears in there, because if I'm going out, I'm going out swearing. May as well.
So, well,
before
exactly.
We crack on, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right.
Nice Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, it was good. Proper family Christmas. So it's been nice building Lego sets and playing Zelda on the Switch. It's been pretty fun.
Yeah, I spent most of my time sleeping, eating, gaming, and that's about it for like 2.5 weeks.
Sounds
so
pretty good.
To say it's been good, it's pretty much been how I wish I could live every day. I told Michelle the other day she needs to go and get a job as like a CEO or something so I can just stay at home and be a dog dad.
I think if that happened though, you know the episode where Homer stays at home and works and he just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and starts wearing like a dress, like a man dress.
Yeah, yes. I've already got a fat guy hat. I just need a cape and a moo-moo. And then one of those sticks I can use to press the keys on the phone because my hands have got too fat. I haven't got as far as getting one of the nodding birds, though, to press the any key for me.
Yeah, that would be the trick. That's the trick in your establishment just to get the little birds nods its beak up and down.
That works for me.
Yeah, sounds like a good Christmas, man. I mean, we haven't really done a preview for this year because it's been quite busy. Well, we've not been busy, but we haven't had time to do it. But I think because Infinity Wars is kind of taken over so much, and we are doing previews for other films like Black Panther, which we'll have to do soon enough, I guess.
Yeah, that's possibly going to have to be our next one. We've come up with one. We're going to do a look back at Iron Man
within the next week. Something relevant to that, what we're both doing and quite a few people are doing online, which is pretty cool, is watching a Marvel film every week from origin, so Iron Man 1, which we both watched and a few others did last week.
I watched Incredible Hulk tonight. You might have seen the things floating around on Facebook and Twitter, and it's been called The Road to Infinity War. The only problem with it is Black Panther gets released about halfway through, so I think you get to the middle of February and you've got to watch Black Panther out of sequence. But the idea is you start from the first week in January, you watch one film every week, and then just as you finish the most recent film, it's time for Infinity War. But I get fucked over by this anyway because I'm in America when Infinity War gets released in the UK, and then in the ultimate kick in the bollocks, I'm in the UK when it gets released in the US. So I'm not going to be watching Infinity War until at least a week after it comes out, which is the biggest load of bullshit ever.
Yeah, but it is because you get married.
Yeah, but I have to miss Infinity War, so, you know, swings and roundabouts.
Swings and roundabouts. Although you will be probably going to Disney and going on the Guardians ride.
I will definitely be going to Disney, and I will be going on the Guardians ride, and I may try and steal Rocket, because I imagine they're going to have an actual raccoon there.
When we went to Disney last year, it is now, there was a Star-Lord kind of impersonator and an animatronic baby Groot, which I think you could steal.
Definitely stealing. As long as I can nick something, because it's costing a fucking fortune, so I'm bringing some kind of souvenir back.
Yeah, Mickey literally rapes you, so you do need to steal something.
Well, yeah. Well, I've already been like a few times, so Mickey's definitely had a go on my back passage, so he owes me. That dirty mouse owes me big time. But anyway, enough about cartoon mouse sodomy. Believe it or not, that isn't what we came here to talk about.
It's not. We could, probably for a good while, but that's not why we're here.
Probably shouldn't, because then we'd have to be R-rated.
Yeah, and you can't be R-rated if you're talking Disney. You know, that's the rumour.
It's true. That's the rules. So, Justice League. Already I can sense and feel your arsehole clenching. I hope you're not
thinking
about Mickey.
Do you know what? I did get quite tense as soon as you mentioned Justice League. I genuinely did. I went, I kind of winced at that entire moment. Where do we begin with Justice League?
Let's start with the very, very beginning. A lot of people probably went in with low expectations because this is the fourth or fifth film in this incarnation of the DC universe. You've got
fourth.
Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman.
Dawn of Justice as well would count.
Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman. So yeah, this is the fifth.
Yeah.
And you'd be hard-pushed to say that any of them have been massively brilliant other than Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman was everything falling into place. That was the right cast, the right director, and crucially, it was the right level of involvement from the studio. Because a lot of the criticisms that have been levelled at the other films, certainly at Suicide Squad and Batman Superman, was that Warner Brothers dabbled a bit too much with, we want you to reshoot this, we want it to be darker, or we want it to be funnier, and we want a bit more of this, or we want the time capping.
That said, have you seen Bright on Netflix that David Ayer has done? Okay. So, because it's Netflix, you'd watch it and it's fine. It's relatively harmless, but it's pretty average or pretty shit. And that's David Ayer's follow-up, technically, to Suicide Squad. So I'm not sure the studio ruined Suicide Squad having watched Bright. I think it might be the director's own doing. He had a really good run of films before that, but he's just maybe gone off the rails and trying to do a little bit too much fantasy stroke action kind of films. It doesn't really mix that well. So, you know, so maybe, I don't know, maybe it's not all him. Maybe it's not all the studio. Because I think you look at the other ones and Zack Snyder got a rough license, I think, when he was doing his films to make his films.
This may be the only time you ever hear me say this, but I actually feel very, very sorry for Zack Snyder with regards to this. And lots of people will know by now, he had to leave about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through the process of making Justice League because him and his wife lost their daughter. They tried to carry on working through it and they couldn't. And his wife, I think it's Deborah, I think she might have been a producer on it as well. And they both had to completely step away. And for me, that was where the problems really started. We'll go into that a little bit more later on when we reach it. But I went into this quite hopeful, whereas I know a lot of people will have gone in quite expecting it to be a little bit shit because, you know, Batman versus Superman really dampened a lot of people's expectations, didn't it? A lot of people went in thinking it was going to be amazing and came out with a bit of a bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah, I think Wonder Woman kind of won a few people over, but I think what people are forgetting is that Wonder Woman is very standalone in terms of, like you said, the direction and the, you know, the actors and the story.
99% of it being set in the past, it's really got no impact whatsoever on Justice League.
I'd say it literally has none, bar a character.
Probably not, no. I can't think of anything directly. Then I don't know, maybe there's a tiny little microscopic tangent that links them, but it's not like Batman versus Superman, where obviously you've got Superman's death links directly into this. It's nothing like that. Maybe that's a blessing in disguise. We don't know. Maybe we don't know what that's down to. I'd like to think that that's down to, like I said before, all the right people in the right place at the right time making the right decisions. And finally, Warner Brothers just backed off enough to give Patty Jenkins space to bring her vision to life and really get what was in her head onto the screen.
Yeah, and equally, maybe she just, you know, maybe she had something the other directors didn't, which is, it's almost the balls to actually stand up and make her own film. Do you know what I mean? Because
she certainly seems like she's not lacking in balls. She seems like the kind of gal that would quite happily stand up and say, well, if you want to be like that, I'm going to walk.
Well, I know for a fact that, you know, it took so long to get her to sign on for the sequel because she wanted equal pay. Do you know what I mean? She wanted the right amount of money for the talent and the work and everything that goes into her films.
And she wanted full control as well.
Yeah.
From what I read, she basically said to the studios, I want more control than I had in the first one. You know, I've proven I can do it. Reward me. And there was obviously a lot of negotiations because it took months and months to get her to sign on. And they needed to. If it had gone on much longer, it would have looked a bit weak on their point. And you never know, the vultures might have been circling around her thinking, well, you know, if I was Marvel, I would have been looking at that going, she's just done a really good job. Why don't we get her in for, I don't know, the Black Widow film, something like that?
Yeah, give her Tessa Thompson or something to work
to
with.
Really spearhead, you know, another female-led Marvel film after Captain Marvel. And I'll bet you she would have done it because she's established herself now as saying, look, I can do comic films.
Yeah, and I think one thing people forget and kind of downplay a little bit is that not every director could just come in and do a comic film. I mean, the Nolan comic films are very much in his identity of a film. So they're action films, essentially, aren't they? You know, and they cross over with a little bit of sci-fi and a little bit of action and a little bit of, obviously, the big comic hit in there. But they're not your conventional comic book films that we were used to, your traditional Spider-Mans and your old school Supermans and stuff. So it depends on what director comes in, but not every director could do these films. You know what I mean? They're not for everyone. And you've seen directors try and fail in Marvel and in, you know, DC kind of based stuff and X-Men and the likes. It's not every director's dream. And it's not just come and have a go. It's almost the kind of least conventional directors that seem to make it work, like James Gunn and, you know, Taika Waititi. It's just, I mean, you wouldn't have ever thought that might work, but it bloody does. You know, like
on
we've talked
paper,
about.
It should have been an absolute disaster with him.
Yeah, it really should.
It should have been a genuine facepalm moment, and it's the exact opposite. Whatever the opposite of a facepalm is, it's that. It's rapidly taking your hand away from your face.
the reverse facepalm. Yeah, exactly. And it is that. It's one of those things where a director comes along and you go, this shouldn't work. And then they just knock out the park. And
you go, sure, bitch, it works.
Well, exactly. But I think you knew all along with this film what Zack Snyder would bring to it, because he's a bit too tried and tested, isn't he? It's a very dark formula. And actually, I kind of thought that worked in Batman versus Superman. I think it had some massive issues that people talked about, and we all know about that. But the darker stuff is what me and you liked about it, really. So yeah. the Batman elements of things and the way the city was shot and all that kind of stuff, that was good. That was what we wanted more of, really.
That's what I wanted.
I didn't want Avengers Mark II. I didn't want Avengers Mark II
to be dark. And again, we'll cover the problems off late, the real details of the problems, because that's when we're potentially going to start arguing. So we'll do that later. So you've gone in. We'll start with you. You've gone in. You've watched it. How did you feel the second the credits started rolling?
I felt like everyone told me to feel, which is part of my thing. So I do struggle a little bit, which you don't, to separate yourself from, say, reviews and from the kind of online pressures of people saying X, Y, and Z. I've kind of, since Star Wars, changed my tone a bit, because everyone that hated Star Wars, I just don't understand why they're hating Star Wars, because I think they're just being too... Because I'm not a Star Wars fanboy, which you are.
Yeah.
And for me, I not could take it or leave it with Star Wars. I'll always watch every Star Wars film. But I think because Rogue One didn't do a whole lot for me, I was left a little bit cold. So I didn't have any expectations for Last Jedi. I didn't go in with this huge build-up, because I think since the original kind of prequels, you know, they've changed everyone's perception a little bit of Star Wars. They have and they haven't. You still look back at the originals and think they're incredible, but they did tarnish things a little bit. So I kind of came out swinging a little bit after Star Wars, because I saw it just getting too much negativity with a director who's really talented trying to do something different, and I think it needs that. I don't think you can just do the same old story, you know, because as much as I like The Force Awakens, it's very much a classic telling of Star Wars, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? So, and we're not talking about Star Wars, but it does relate to my point that these big franchises, there's massive expectation on them, and it's hard because you go in with that weight of expectation. I think I just wanted something when we did the preview and when we talked about it. I just wanted something fun with the characters, but equally I wanted something different. And I felt like this, it's just something I've watched so many times before, where it wasn't really focused on the story so much, and it all felt really rushed. The CG was really sketchy, and I just thought the story was lacking.
Sketchy's kind, to be
fair. Yeah, it is. I thought the villain was really poor again in another of these films. And I just thought it was the same old story. And you get, you know, I love all these films, but you can't just go in every time and see the same dynamic. It did feel a little bit like it was, I don't know, it felt like a film by two directors. And it obviously is.
It was. That's the problem.
And I think that's, as much as anything else, I think that's probably the biggest problem. Because Whedon, for me, if he'd done it from scratch and wrote the script and done it properly, I think you would have had a much more coherent Whedon film. But whether that would have worked is still a question mark, because we don't need the Avengers again. We've had, you know, and you're not going to get better than Robert Downey Jr.'s interaction with Chris Evans and Hemsworth, and you're not going to get that. I think they, you know, I think that not better actors as such, but just more gelled, more,
they're more in tune to the genre, aren't they?
I think they're better, more well cast, and maybe a bit more experienced in it, like you said, because they have all done films or cameoed in films or done stuff before the Avengers. Whereas this is obviously a few films in, but not as developed in the DCU. They just went for broke a little bit too early, maybe.
I think that's a fair comment.
Yeah, and I'm not going to just sit here and slag it off, because I think it's easy to do that. I think the big lacking of it is the script just didn't didn't work, man. It just felt so disjointed. You know, it's not 2 hours. It's not long enough for a film that needed to fit this much in as well. I mean, and most of it was spent with half of it was spent with a villain that you just didn't give a shit about either. You just didn't care whatever the hell the villain was doing, which you need some invested interest. And I think, you know, DC as a whole has got much better villains. Obviously, Batman, which we talk about all the time with the villains and stuff, but generally, villains are really high level in the comics, and I just think they keep choosing villains that kind of mean nothing. Do you know what I mean? And then that's the big problem for me. I know they can't go maybe big with Darkseid straight away, but you've got to choose villains that at least, I don't know, at least involve you in some way. I think the villains and the kind of flying bugs or whatever they were.
Parademons.
They just weren't, I don't know, man. I didn't feel like that anyone was in danger at any given moment, particularly.
That's fair enough. Okay, well, when I...
We can talk good things, though. Yeah, talk when you came out, and then we'll talk the good stuff, and then we can talk
more. We'll do good, then bad.
So yeah.
When I came, I was generally pretty happy with it. The first thing I noticed was, seeing as you mentioned Star Wars, when I came out of the most recent Star Wars film, it didn't feel like, what was it? It was just over 2.5 hours. It didn't feel like it. I actually had to check my clock on my phone to see what time it was.
Yeah.
I thought I'd only been in there like half hour, 45 minutes. My back wasn't hurting. I wasn't tired. I was just completely immersed in the cinema, and it felt like no time had gone. When I came out of Justice League, I knew I'd been sat there for 2 hours because it felt condensed. You know, when a film is right, we always talk about pacing, don't we? And people use it as a stick to beat directors with. When the pacing's right, you don't know how long a film is. It could be half an hour, it could be 3 hours. But if the pacing's right and you get drawn into the story and the characters and the action, you just sit and watch it. And when it finishes, you go, oh wow, okay. This, I knew that this had been mandated to be 2 hours because you could feel it. There was no breathing room between the scenes. It was literally one thing finishes and bang, you're straight into the next thing. And that was my first impression, was shit, that was rushed. But on the whole, I was very happy with it. The fairest assessment I can give, I'd say it's a solid 7 out of 10, which isn't bad. But if you want to be completely objective, which I know I struggle with for DC films, 7 out of 10 for a $300 million film with that level of ensemble cast isn't really good enough. You need to be pushing hard for $1 billion. We checked the figures before, and at the time of recording this, its box office global is $652 million. So it's made just over twice what they spent. That's not good enough for a film of this level with Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot and Jason Momoa and Jeremy Irons and Diane Lane and...
God, they didn't even give...
J.K. Simmons.
I was going to say J.K. Simmons. I mean, you look at characters like J.K. Simmons, who he's a brilliant actor and he's been around a long time, and he obviously gets cast in this, and you think, that's good, it makes sense. And Jeremy Irons, actually, I was sceptical of, but was really good in Batman vs Superman when you give him something to work with. And you've got these really, really established characters and actors, and they give them no time, literally because they had no time, like you said. And it's because they're trying to force all this stuff at you. And, I mean, the big scene for me that went awry was there was an Atlantis scene, and I just didn't know what the hell was going on. And I don't know if that was just me.
Was it the one where he's fighting Steppenwolf?
Yeah, it was. And I just saw they tried to introduce a character and then she disappeared. And
with the stuff with Mira.
Yeah, and I just think, look, you know all this because you've I know you're not a big Aquaman reader, but you know enough. Okay, so you'll know this, but then your average cinema goer is going to go, what fuck was that all about? You know what I mean? And they kind of get a sense of Aquaman quite early, I guess. But the same with The Flash, man. We watch a TV show, you've read every comic book going, so you obviously know more than a lot of people. And these films just, they're not even for they're not made just for comic book fans. They're not made for cinema loving fans. They're kind of just not
It's made for
made very well. That's my point with it. I think it doesn't know what it's trying to achieve, and I think that's, again, it does come down to direction.
I think it knows what it wants to achieve, but has been actively prevented from doing it by a studio turning around and going, "You've got to tell this story in 2 hours." That's bullshit.
It is.
You know, if anyone's not heard, there's petitions going round. It won't. But to release the Zack Snyder cut, because you always get, there's always scenes cut from every film.
Every film. And funnily enough, that's a lot.
Footage, and that's why a lot of the things, the bit you said about Atlantis is completely bang on. They cut about 4 or 5. I think they cut more scenes from Aquaman than they did for any other character. So it's no surprise to hear you say, "I don't know what the hell's going on with him. I don't know who she is. I don't know what that's for. What are you doing?" Because they cut something like 8 minutes of Aquaman.
Footage,
and that's exactly a lot proportionately from a 2-hour film.
Well, it is. And equally for a character that we've got a solo film coming out in that I think will be good. I think Momoa held up quite well. I just don't think he had much to work with. I think when you did see enough of him, when he was in the bar and he kind of had that edge about him, and you kind of, you know, everyone knows him from Game of Thrones and he's that big presence, but he just didn't really have anything to work off. And I just thought, you know, the one that got the most lines is the one that we really don't like in the role. But actually, Ezra Miller's the one that other people seem to relate to. But I think that's maybe because they don't watch the Flash telly show, because it just doesn't fit. And obviously haven't had any kind of impact on comics, which is fine. You know, there's no judgment for me. I just think they seem to give all the lines to the wrong people. And the other big character in it, I think Gal Gadot was good. Obviously, having had a whole film with her and she was excellent in, you obviously want a little bit more. I don't think the fight scenes were quite good enough in this. I don't think they gave them anything. There was the one towards the end was pretty cool, but Steppenwolf was just such a CG mess. And talking of other characters, I liked Superman, and I know you really didn't in one particular fight scene when they're all fighting each other, and I actually quite enjoyed that. So there you go. Go on. Tell me what you didn't like, and then it'll make me feel better.
We'll do good bits first. Let's be nice and positive. So go on. You first.
Yeah, no, I thought he was good, and actually I've come around to Henry Cavill a little bit. I think I've seen a few more films of him. I didn't mind him that much in Batman versus Superman. I think he had his moments. And I thought he's a pretty good presence. He works quite well. I thought the one hilarious thing was the CG mustache, which you could clearly see what scenes were really shot. And I just think the problem with him coming back is he's on the press tour, he's everywhere. It's obviously, you can't keep a secret like that in this day and age, that a character is coming back. But then why try and hide it? Do you know what I mean? Like, I obviously died in the last one, and that's part of why people are, you know, Steppenwolf is able to come to Earth and stuff. But it didn't really, you knew Superman was coming back at some stage. So it's just tricky. And I think the major problem with this, as much as the script and the kind of interplay between characters, is that for me, Ben Affleck had no interest in being in this film. And I know we've long discussed that. And I think in a standalone Batman where he's got his proper role, I think he'll be invested in it. But I think it's not just the role he's not interested in. I think we've talked about this, that he's just probably going through that phase as an actor, as a director, where his chips are down and I don't think he's enjoying it.
And he's had a rough year personally, hasn't he? There's been a lot of shit going on. So it wouldn't be a surprise if this film wasn't at the top of his list of priorities.
Yeah, he looked like he was turning up to get a paycheck a little bit. And it's just quite sad because we've always talked about Bale, and we've always talked about, which other original Batmans were good? Keaton, obviously. Not so much Val Kilmer and George Clooney. But hashtag bat nipples.
Hashtag bat nipples.
Yeah. But you look at it and go, okay, so he was good in Batman vs. Superman. He looked like he was interested in the project. And then he pulled out a directorial duty for the new Batman film. And you kind of then think, yeah, is he that bothered or not? And then there's a bit more that comes out. And then there's talk about him coming off the project and this, that, and the other. And it's just, it all leads to the fact that, and then he's had a couple of films that haven't gone that well. Obviously, for a while, his direction was going really well. His acting, I think Gone Girl did pretty damn well, and he was in, that was his big last film, really, a few years ago. And then just since then, he just doesn't, it's not going well for him. It's not. And you can just feel that maybe he doesn't, he's spitting off the one-liners and this, that, and the other. Is Batman really a one-liner kind of guy? Do you know what I mean? Is he not a bit more inspirational, a bit more, I don't know. It wasn't even when he was Bruce Wayne, it was more when he was in the bat suit that I had issues with. He didn't seem as much of a threat. And I know Batman has not got the power of Wonder Woman and Superman and things like that, but it just, I don't know, they're just painting him out to be a guy with just money and that's it. Whereas Batman was always the smartest guy in the room to me, you know, and we've always talked about that. And I just think that's what felt quite disappointing.
You were supposed there's a lot to be doing the positives, you know, you miserable bastard.
I know. I'm trying though. I'm being nice actually. I haven't sworn once.
Right, list some things that you liked about it.
Okay. The main thing I liked about it was Cyborg, who we've not talked about yet. I genuinely wasn't expecting him to be a good character because when we watched the early trailers, the CG looked pretty ropey. And I just thought, I'm not sure they're going to get this across very well. And actually, he probably had the least amount of backstory in it, but you know exactly where he's come from automatically.
He's
you know.
Another one. He had, after Aquaman, he had the next highest amount of stuff that was cut.
So, I'm sure he did, but I think it's quite obvious where he came from. And I think he's the kind of character that comes out of it and you go, shit, I want to watch more. And I know a bit about Cyborg, but he's not the most, he's probably the weaker of the kind of Justice League members in terms of people's popularity. Do you know what I mean?
Popularity is, in terms of powers, there's not many Justice Leaguers, even in the extended roster, that are as powerful as him.
No, he's obviously extremely powerful.
That's something that they really need a solo film for, to really dig into. Because without going into it too much, because he's made of a mother box, the mother box is an infinite source of power. His armor can be as powerful as it needs to be. So if all
Which is
sudden,
pretty damn cool.
If a new bad guy comes along that was even stronger than Darkseid, his armor would literally step up and just go, right, well, I'm twice as powerful as I was yesterday now.
Which is just awesome.
Yeah. But that's not the kind of power that you can get across in an ensemble film. That's the same as Wonder Woman. You only really drill down into what Wonder Woman can do in a low film. Because if they tried to do the whole lightning thing in Justice League, it would have come off as like, oh, what a convenient plot point. She's all of a sudden discovered she's got these powers.
Yeah,
in
I agree.
In the context of a solo film, it made sense. But
yeah, it did.
We've said several times that Cyborg was a total surprise. I thought he was going to suck, and I like Cyborg, especially if you watch the Justice League cartoon or Young Justice or any of the other ones from DC. He's a very, very important character. He runs the Justice League Watchtower, the satellite they live on in space. He's very trusted, especially he's very trusted by Batman. And because he's basically a living computer, he's the strategist. If there's like a global crisis, he's the one that will take point and he's directing everyone. You know, we'll send Batman and Aquaman this way and the Flash and Superman that way. And he's managing everything all at once because he's the only one that can do it because he's a living computer. And again, that's the kind of thing that they can really drill down to if the Cyborg film ever materializes, which has got to be.
I think it probably will. I mean, Ray Fisher's interesting. He's very inexperienced actor. He's not done really anything much before these films.
And he's loving this. You know, you were saying that Ben Affleck couldn't be less interested.
You could tell he was
Ray
loving
Fisher
it.
For the last year, whenever he's doing any kind of a press, anything, he's got Cyborg merchandise. It's like Borg Life on his T-shirts and his hats. And he's always, always talking up the project. And this clearly means a lot to him. I get the impression that he's a big comic fan.
And it does really help. We've always talked about that before. Yeah, and that's what you want, man. I mean, I think we said that, and Gal Gadot is the same, man. You can tell how much she loves that role, and you can tell how much it means to her. And you know, I think Momoa as well. I think you can feel that from him. I know you do. And he always was going to be the kind of guy that people love, because he's just got that kind of larger than life kind of personality, and he's got a bit of a rock style charisma. Do you know what I mean? He's definitely got that about him. And that's cool, man. I see that. It's the other actors in it that they're just not giving anything to. I mean, how many Oscars has Amy Adams been nominated for? Like 3?
And I was gonna say, she's been up for a few.
I don't know if she's won one, but she's definitely been up. She was definitely might have got one for what's that film? American Hustle. I think she might have won for. Actually, she's been nominated for 5, but she's never won.
She's twice won Golden Globes for best actress in a comedy or musical for American Hustle and Big Eyes, which I've never even heard of.
I've not heard of that. American Hustle is a really good film. She's just a brilliant actress, and again, she wasn't in it. And I think that's
scraps.
Yeah, and I just look at it and go, Christ, you sign up actresses like this and actors that we mentioned before, and they're just not giving them anything to work with. And I know they're looking at it going, well, we will be giving them something to work with, but like, if they don't get it right sooner rather than later, no one's going to watch these films. Do you know what I mean? And that's the thing. So there's no point casting all these expensive actors and all the production and effects and all the marketing and all the rest of it if no one turns up to watch them. Because at the end of the day, studios are there to make money. And Warner Brothers have got the golden ticket, if you ask me. They've got the license to an incredible comic book catalogue, you know.
From Emergency Awesome, Charlie Schneider, that I absolutely love, and he mentioned that exact point. DC have got the one benefit that Marvel never had. They have got the entire library of characters at their disposal. Marvel didn't. Marvel, when Disney Marvel really started getting going, you guarantee they would have wanted to get a Fantastic Four film or an X-Men film, but their hands were tied, so they had to start looking at what they probably considered.
And they did smart. Black Panther, they did smart. Yeah.
Doctor Strange, Captain Marvel, rightly or wrongly, they weren't the main characters. Whereas DC can choose from hundreds and hundreds of heroes.
Oh, yeah. Villains. So that, and they're not always even using the best of them. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was no Green Lantern for you, which is obviously very.
No Green Arrow. There was no. I mean, it's bullshit. There's no Martian Manhunter. The Martian Manhunter is arguably.
He's an awesome character,
Justice League character, because he's literally got every power you can imagine. He can become invisible. He's telekinetic. He's telepathic. He can fly. He's incredibly strong. He's impervious to all manner of toxins and poisons. He can batter Superman, because even Superman has said in the comics that he's afraid of Martian Manhunter.
Yeah,
but yeah.
It's one of those, man. They've got such a great array of villains, such a great array of characters. But the big thing that the films aren't doing is they're not really doing storytelling. And I think Wonder Woman was that. It was a really brilliantly told story up until the last act where it all got a bit stupid. But other than that, it was a brilliantly told story. And I think that's what you want. You know, you go to watch these films because of the stories. And then the characters are a big part of it. Don't get me wrong. But if it all it is, so, all right, your most hated franchise, Fast and the Furious, all they do is they race cars and talk about family and drink Corona. And
that literally makes me big, want to punch myself.
Big action scenes, and you know what you're going to get, and every film is more brash, and every film has got more stunts and more drama and action and all that jazz. That's what they do. And it keeps audiences coming back because they up it every time, and that's what they do. But does that work in a comic book genre when one big player and Fox as well, with Deadpool and Logan and everything else that they produced recently? And the first, and some X-Men films are really good as well. I'm not going to sell them too short, because some of the X-Men films are not great. Some of them are really good. But they tell great stories, and the characters are parts of that, and they are a very important part of that. But I think if they can't get the story right in the DC films, and then the characters start to kind of feel less important, and you just don't give a shit. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it? So that Steppenwolf as a villain was just appalling, and the CG was shocking, and there was nothing behind him. Now, when we talk about Ultron, and I kind of come back round again to Age of Ultron. I didn't ever get in the negative bandwagon, but I still don't think it's better than the first Avengers film. Just because, I know you do. I think the first Avengers film just captured something for me, and it just hit at that right time. And I just loved everything about it. And I think Ultron felt not quite as good, but pretty damn close. But Ultron as the villain, just CG, yeah, but really menacing because the voice was the prominent part of it. Do you know what I mean? You almost weren't looking at the character, you're looking at the, you were taking everything the voice said, because it's James Spader, isn't it, who did the voice. And it was just excellent, really menacing and really quick and really witty, but just different. And it felt like, you know, he catch your attention, whereas Steppenwolf, you're just like, what the hell is this guy and what the hell does he want? And I don't give a shit. And that's what I struggle with. You need the villain to work in conjunction. And I think what they got right about this film, which is a positive, is actually bringing the new characters into it. But I just felt like I got the timing wrong of that. I think you need at least another film, because Wonder Woman obviously had no interaction with these characters. I think you needed another film. You could have done it in one to maybe have a Flash solo film, and brought in maybe Cyborg into that, or have the Aquaman film come first and maybe have Batman involved, or, you know, you needed something where you know a little bit more about the characters, so they're a bit more established, and then you could do something like this, but maybe upscale it a bit. Don't just do the same story as the end of Batman versus Superman. You could go a bit more higher level. And I know we're talking about Marvel's being patient to get to a Thanos and it takes all this time, but they only did that because it was working. Do you know what I mean? I think if they panicked and people weren't coming to see Iron Man, and they made a load more Hulk and bad Thor films, if they did all that, then I don't think anyone would. I think they'd jump straight to Thanos and be done with it. But I think Warner Brothers just shat the bed a little bit, to be honest. I don't know if that's fair, but I just think they've just gone about things maybe the wrong way a little bit.
Yeah, well, before we move on to the full-on shit things, I'll do some happy things. Things I was pleased with. I liked Cyborg
and yep.
Aquaman. I liked yep. Wonder Woman. I actually liked this version of Batman. I liked the fact that Batman was so off his game and he was so shaken by everything that he was seeing, and he was really uncool and really...
I don't...
I really like the scene where he and Wonder Woman are really arguing, because he seems to really be struggling with the gravity of the situation, of, you know, how fucked up everything has got.
Yeah, I get that.
And I liked some of the little cameos they did. I loved the little Green Lantern cameo in the really old flashback between the Amazons and the Parademon army.
I thought that was probably one of the better moments of the film. Yeah,
and that whole fight scene was absolutely brilliant. It really, really was good.
It was.
If, like I said, I thought it was a good 7 out of 10. It was a good film. I was happy with it. It's not perfect, far from it. But I would say for me, it's got far more good than bad. To defend some of the criticisms from a lot of people, Steppenwolf isn't a good villain because nobody knows who he is.
Or cares.
But I understand why they used him, and I keep using the phrase he's a gateway villain. Because you can't just have Darkseid coming and going, oh look, I'm gonna take over this place. So
could there not have been someone else though? I mean,
they could, but I think if they were only going to do him as a one-off villain, it would have been stupid. They've got much better villains. They could have done Lex Luthor or Metallo or Amazo.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because a lot of the better villains are in Batman.
His name's got Brainiac.
Brainiac's okay.
But it wouldn't have worked if you just dropped them into an ensemble film, having never seen them in Superman, Batman, or Wonder Woman's films. It would have been stupid to just go all of a sudden, hi, here's Brainiac. Well, who's Brainiac? Oh, you know, go and ask Superman. Well, it's never come up before, so what the hell's going on?
Well, yeah, but Darkseid didn't really change that, did it? Do you know what I mean?
Didn't do a good job of explaining who Steppenwolf is in relation to Darkseid. And he's meant to be his lieutenant. And there was either one of two ways of pitching it. The original way they pitched it was Steppenwolf was like his messenger. He was coming to Earth to get a feel of things, soften people up, get a grip on how many heroes there are, how hard they are, and if possible, kill a load of people along the way and make it easier for the full-on invasion. Then it kind of got twisted to, well, Steppenwolf is trying to prove himself to Darkseid because he's fallen into his bad books. So by taking over Earth, and then he's going to present Earth to him as a present and be like, oh, look, you know, here you go, I've taken over this planet for you. And Darkseid goes, oh, well, you're not such a pussy after all. And they didn't. Yeah. The better way would have been the first one for me, where he comes as his herald, he softens everyone up, and then in the next film or the third film, Darkseid arrives, shit goes off. You know, exactly what Marvel are doing with Thanos. You know, you build up to the big guy so that when the big guy arrives, it's not just like cold water going down your back. You're not so shocked by it.
No, and I think equally with Thanos as well, he's got lieutenants, doesn't he? You know, he's got people.
Yeah, he's got
but lieutenants, so Proxima, Midnight.
Proxima, Midnight's the only one whose name I fucking know.
I can't remember the other one, but I think the other one is the one involved in Loki's scene about Tesseract. But and maybe the stone with Vision. But I can't remember who that is now. But it's one of those things that they're not thrown in early. They're thrown in during the same film where Thanos is involved. So
we've been introduced, haven't we, to Thanos? We got the original...
Oh, yeah, Guardians.
We got the original thing with Loki. And then we had all the stuff with Ronan the Accuser as well in Guardians. So Thanos has been drip-fed across... Is it four films he's featured in?
At least three, yeah.
And that's good. That's a really, really nice, steady trickle. So he's not being rammed down your throat, but you always know that they're building up to it. Whereas they only really brought in Darkseid in Batman versus Superman. And then straight away, the next film in terms of timeline progression, because you've got to be more Wonder Woman, it's literally, he's got these apocalyptic dreams. Bang, here's Darkseid's cousin slash uncle.
Is that not the big issue in all of this? Is that actually Wonder Woman as a standalone is great, but it's not connecting anything, obviously, and that's fine. But you've just gone from Batman versus Superman straight into Justice League. There's no hiatus. Do you know what I mean? There's no film to. And I hate to compare everything to Marvel. I'm not trying to do that, but there's no link film. There's no step. Do you know what I mean? It's just literally gone from one big film with a similar plot. Obviously, it's Batman versus Superman, but then it does become Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman versus that giant thing that I've forgotten the name of. And then this one is obviously is a similar kind of thing. It's obviously teamed up, and they need more characters to kind of get into the mix. But I just don't think. I feel like it's too rushed, mate. I think as much as anything else, the script is wrong. I think that it's too rushed. And obviously you can feel the direction from two directors. So there's no coherence, you know. There's just, I think there's too much cut from a story to make it work.
If you were to say to me, summarise the problems in one, I would say it's not one film. You can clearly see the dark, brooding,
Snyder
parts of Snyder, and then you can see the bits where Joss Whedon's come in and gone.
I love the Avengers.
It was dead colourful, and I want to do this. If you look at the original trailers, normally as trailers get released, CGI gets better. Steppenwolf got worse because Whedon came in and rounded him off and made him a bit more colourful and a bit less jagged, and he ruined him. I really do think the biggest problem with this film was that Whedon came in and shit all over Snyder's vision. Whether you like Zack Snyder or not, and we're not massive fans, although I love three.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah.
At least it would have been.
Well, we like Watchmen, man. We like Watchmen. True. So I think the scope in there that he can do things right. I think his storytelling is pretty average. I think that's where he's always fallen down. I think his vision and the way things are and look has generally been pretty damn good. Sometimes it's a bit overglossed and a bit overproduced, but
to take 45 minutes of his,
it's too much.
You're always going
to, if you scale it down to 2 hours 20 25 minutes, something like that, you could probably squeeze in enough of the Link story to make it work. I just felt like you just literally, and it's almost 2 hours with credits. I think it's way too short. And you can't make films like that unless it's just about one character. So Ant-Man can be under 2 hours. Fine, it's about Ant-Man. What are you going to do to flesh that out for 2.5 hours? It'd be ridiculous. You know, Thor Ragnarok felt, I think it's 1 hour 50 or something. That's fine. You don't need a full 2.5 hours worth of film. You're going to tell me Infinity Wars is going to be under 2 hours 20 minutes? I highly doubt it. And you look at, I think Batman vs Superman maybe was too long, and maybe people got hung up on that, and that's why the studios, again, shat the bed a little bit. I think that's probably why. But I think that is the main issue with this film. It's the two directors. And I think Whedon is a director, they thought, oh, we've got access to him. So that makes sense, because he's going to do Batgirl.
Yeah. It looks like he's...
And he obviously left Marvel and not the greatest of terms. And so he's available. He's a good director. He's a good sci-fi director. But his sci-fi direction and his action films in Avengers and sci-fi stuff with Firefly and
it's
the film...
the opposite of what they've built.
It's very, very upbeat. It's very, very cheery.
The major no edge. The way they've tried to differentiate themselves is Marvel have gone, not, you know, not childish or kiddie, but they've got their vision, they've got their universe very established now with 15, 16 films. You know,
yeah, and they occasionally have an edge. You know, it does shock you. I think there's moments in Ragnarok which had genuine emotion and were quite dark, and there's moments in Guardians where it's been quite dark, especially Guardians 2 was quite a somber film in parts towards the end. But then they had moments in them where, you know, like Guardians 1, when he does the dance-off, when he's about to destroy the world and he starts doing the dance-off. And it's like that, to me, is they make the balance work fine, but on the whole, they're quite upbeat, quite, you know, they're not dark, sobering, killing people off. It's not Game of Thrones. Do you know what I mean? It's not like that. Whereas the Snyder version of things is along the Game of Thrones line. I think he would happily kill characters off. He would have more violence and more brutality. And I think you saw that a bit in Batman versus Superman. I think you'd see that a lot more in this if he was on the whole project. And they gave him license. I think even if he was on the whole project, I don't think they would have given him full license. I think
that's the thing that pisses me off, though. Not pisses me off, that's a bit harsh. That's what disappoints me so much, is that they gave him the breathing room to put his vision out there. And through circumstances completely out of his control, he wasn't able to. There won't be anyone who's more disappointed in that finished version than him, because that's about two thirds of the film that he wanted. You know, to take out 45 minutes of somebody's film is always going to completely screw with it. You know, the pacing's wrong, the introduction to certain characters, the explanations about what's happening, they've not been shortened, they've been completely removed.
And yeah, and like we said, because you're trying to throw too much at one film as well with the characters. And we said this about Suicide Squad was the same, man. Too many characters you didn't know straight away thrown at you.
You ignore Superman for a large part of the film. So you've got three out of the five members you've never really met. You know,
you haven't.
You may know who the Flash is. You know all about him. But you've never seen him in a DC film other than, what, a 90-second cameo where you literally see him.
And that was the thing with it. If you'd had more of them in Batman versus Superman, you would have... Because everyone knows Superman, everyone knows Batman. Their option in that film was Wonder Woman. But then, you know, so they've thrown Wonder Woman in, they've thrown very short clips of characters in. And then what they've done is gone, Wonder Woman...
A little bit of Flash in Suicide Squad, didn't we, where he... Captain Boomerang, which was funny.
Yeah, it was, but again,
you're literally talking 45 seconds.
Exactly. And I mean, to be honest, it's 45 seconds too much of Ezra Miller for me to take.
I must admit, as much as I'm not a fan of him, I actually like that scene, because even in the comics, the interactions you get between Flash and Captain Boomerang are brilliant, because he's such a slapstick character, Captain Boomerang.
Yeah, Boomerang's pretty fun.
He's one of the worst villains, because he literally always gets caught. You know, all villains get caught eventually, but he gets caught so often just by doing...
Yeah, he's not a great villain.
He's not, you know, like Lex Luthor level of genius. He's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, but he is.
It makes him lovable, and he's Australian, and he's into unicorns.
You know, what more is there to like about a person than that?
Well, exactly, it's basically your ideal friend.
It's like
Weird Science, and you could create your own friend, and it wasn't going to be a hot 80s woman that popped out. You'd want it to be Captain Boomerang, maybe without the killer boomerangs.
But they're probably fun. You could track down people on your 10 list, your list, your infamous lists. She popped up on something the other day, and I just thought of you, which is a horrible experience. In terms of thinking, you know, what the hell's Kirsten Dunst? Oh, Stu hates Kirsten Dunst.
In fairness, I hate a lot of people.
Yeah, it's true.
So anyway, the CGI on the...
Oh, God. It's almost funny.
It would have been better, honestly, if they'd gone green screen and they just had somebody walking around with a finger over his top lip, because the bit where, right,
do you know what, mate, I could handle a mustache in a face where he's... I could have handled a mustache Superman. I could go for the 70s porno look. So, do you know what, as well, because obviously some of the scenes were shot when he was clean shaven, some of the scenes were shot when he had a tash, and obviously they had to CG it out. Anyone not listening to this or doesn't know the story, essentially Henry Cavill is in Mission Impossible 6, 7, whatever we're up to now. And he had a moustache, and it was in his contract that he retained the official moustache. And he's done an interview about it, and he said, you just couldn't have a fake tash, because the stunts you do in Mission Impossible films, it would fly off within about 4 seconds. You know, you're riding along a motorbike and the tash flies off behind him. Do you know what I mean?
All of a sudden someone's got like a third eyebrow.
Tom Cruise just there. You know, tash slaps him in the forehead.
And he looks like a missing Gallagher brother.
it wouldn't have worked. And it just, it's not something they could have done. But I could get on board with a tashed Superman. Do you know what I mean? That would have been a kind of retro.
It actually would have worked, because we want... This is one of the big scenes that got fucked. Anyone that knows, you probably will have heard me talking about it.
Yeah.
When Superman dies in the comics and he comes back and he's wearing his black suit, because he's been in the space of like
black suit
animation,
it's a badass suit as well, man. That black suit.
But his hair and everything has grown, and he comes out and he's got a full-blown mullet. And this would have been the perfect opportunity for Henry Cavill
Logan Superman
to grow his hair out and just grow some facial hair. It would have totally worked.
Yeah, they could have given him hair extensions. That would work.
Yeah, they could have got some extensions for about 30 quid.
And even if they'd gone the other route and done his scenes, you know, where they did the scenes where he'd obviously, they CG'd it. They probably CG'd a Tash on there and they could take
That's
one off.
Do you know what I mean? A CGI Tash would look better than a CGI top lip.
It really would. It's just ridiculous. And I mean, the CG you would expect to be pretty top these days. Every time we talk about CG...
A guy who wakes up and eats CG breakfast. He doesn't even eat real food. Yeah. It's generated.
I mean,
and
if...
CG
right.
Steppenwolf was very, very rubbery. You know, look at Ultron. Ultron's a great example of a CG villain. He looked like he was made of metal, and he was 7.5 foot tall. And you thought, oh my God, if I ever saw that guy, I would shit my pants. Steppenwolf looked fucking awful because he looked rubbery. He looked like the old Power Rangers villains. You know, where you could see the zip at the front and you knew he was
you've absolutely nailed it. He looks exactly like a Power Rangers villain. And you know the bad thing in this? I was forced to sit through the Power Rangers film, which has recently come to Netflix if you want to kill yourself.
I actually want to watch it just because I really liked Power Rangers.
I think if you watch it, maybe even an hour in, you'd be fine. The first hour, nothing happens. But it has got... Oh, what's the guy from Breaking Bad in it?
Ryan Cranston?
Yeah, Cranston's in it. He plays Zordon. Yeah, which is just mad. And it's got a couple of other actors that are actually quite well known. But the CG in that is better than the CG in Justice League. And I mean, fucking hell. It's nowhere
DC
near the budget.
And Brothers,
I know.
You are,
and they
when you talk about the biggest studios, you talk about Sony, Fox, Paramount, Warner Brothers, obviously and Disney sitting at the top laughing at everyone for only having, you know, we've bought
$1 billion. You look at, say, so Ridley Scott is 80 years old, right?
He's 80 years old.
He's going to be preserved, and then an alien is going to pop out of his chest and all that kind of stuff.
But it'll be a tiny alien with his face, and so the cycle goes on.
And he's still making films like Prometheus and Alien Covenant, which I think is awful. But
Don't mention the P word. That's just offensive.
Yeah, I know. But he's making films that still look glorious and really good CG.
Still, even now, still look like Ridley Scott. You can pick him out of a lineup, can't you?
Yeah, and what he's done since the fallout of a certain Kevin Spacey is they recast Kevin Spacey in a film called All the Money in the World, which is out like now. And they recast him in December, with 6 weeks before the release of the new film. So in 6 weeks, Ridley Scott managed to shoot all the scenes with Christopher Plummer taking over Kevin Spacey's role.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. 6 weeks it took to completely edit out an actor and then replace him.
That's crazy.
He's 80 years old and he's doing stuff like this. And I mean, he works 90 miles an hour. He probably has 4 hours of sleep a night, and he's just crazy.
Good night.
Yeah, but he managed to do this, right? And that's completely take out an actor and put them into a part. Now, you're telling me you can't get someone who's good enough for CG to do a top lip properly, or to do a villain that looks villainous or scary?
You could argue, there's all manner of layers and all the rest of it to creating a whole character, but is it really, in this day and age, is it that hard to make a bit of hair? You know, you're talking what?
Well, they bring back, like Star Wars brings back,
a 4-inch strip of hair on his top lip.
And you make Robert Downey Jr. look 20 years old in the film. Do you know what I mean? You do these
you
things
bring
where
back
you
Princess Leia,
and you can bring back young Kurt Russell. Do you know what I mean? It's just incredible. You can't then. I don't know how you can't then, with all the time in the world. It's not like they didn't have time to do this,
and it's
they?
Not
you
like
know,
they haven't got the budget on a $300 million film.
$5 million.
You'd squeeze another $5 million when you're Warner Brothers.
Being honest, right? So I've watched Blade Runner 2049, which is my favourite film last year, and it's not everyone's cup of tea, and I'm completely aware of that. But that film looks glorious and is incredible, and the budget on that is far lower than this will ever be. But where did this budget go? Do you know what I mean? If you look at it,
it does make you wonder.
Set design, I don't see it. Do you know what I mean? I don't see these big elaborate sets. I think a lot of the action scenes were based on CG backdrops. And
well, yeah, because it's not like they went and built a huge, gigantic back lot for Gotham. It's all, you know, they will have had like rooftops and stuff, but when you see the big landscapes, like you say, it's all CG.
Yeah, and all the stuff to do with Wonder Woman, I can't remember the island. Yeah, so, I mean, that's obviously an island, but there's nothing elaborate there. Do you know what I mean? It's great costume design.
Just a beach with some cliffs and
fields. Yeah, great costume design and great, you know, the horses and all that kind of stuff looks amazing. But, again, there's no money spent there, really, not relatively. And I just look at it and go, where the hell has the money gone in this film? Do you know what I mean?
It's a valid question. I would love to know the answer to that. You know, it's a shame we can't get to see. You know, the way we get football club records.
Yeah, breakdowns and stuff.
It would be really interesting to see, right, $300 million, even if you didn't find out how much was on salary. You know,
and I look at the actors, and if they're playing them per their role, you're not giving Amy Adams a lot of money. You're not giving the big actors in this a lot of money because they're not on the screen that long enough. Do you know what I mean? They can't be paying them. They can't be paying them crazy money for it.
Stupid money.
No, no, they can't. So I just look at it and go, where the hell, you know? And this didn't feel as marketed as you know, Justice League, as Batman versus Superman. It wasn't as in your face. And they spent $150 million on that marketing budget. So, I mean, they must have spent $100 million on this. I think they did. And it's still, I don't know. I just don't know where the money's gone into it. I think it's just, that would bother me as much as anything else. Do you know what I mean? It's where the hell's the money gone into this? Because the CG isn't up to scratch, man. And the sets, and there's a bit of, obviously they go to, I think it's, is it Norway or somewhere where they do the fishing village for Aquaman.
Yeah, I think
you know, but again, you're not talking huge, you know, they're not doing King Kong where they go to Vietnam and New Zealand and wherever else that went, that film. You know, it's not like that would have cost a lot. There's not a lot there that they've shot outside of a pub in outside of a lake in Norway or wherever. It's you know, there's nothing there to say the production crew and everyone, you know, you're not going to need a full team with full lighting and it, you know, there's nothing there to say to me that they should have spent all that money making it. And if they'd spent a lot less, then the expectation wouldn't be that it had to clear 800, 900 million.
For that sum of money, it needs to be a billion-dollar film.
It realistically does, yeah. And I mean, Star Wars will probably go on to do 1.2, 1.3, and everyone's like, oh, it's not The Force Awakens and stuff. But I think the hype up to The Force Awakens was because it was the first film back, do you know what I mean? And all that expectation. And people are now expecting, you know, you're getting a Star Wars film every year, every 5 years.
Do you
want
to know how much Last Jedi's made?
Go on.
It's already made $1.2
billion. Exactly.
Off a budget of $200 million. We had a little chat before we recorded.
Mm.
The second Jumanji film has already made $520 million, and that was only released at the start, middle of December. So chances
are... Yeah, so if people tell you that there aren't cinema goers and audiences still, it's bullshit. There are, for the right film, the right marketed film.
Especially,
and don't tell me Infinity Wars is not going to do crazy money at the box office. I mean, the marketing's been exceptional for it. I mean, the fucking trailer broke the internet, for Christ's sake. So,
I've already said, I think that could be the first film that makes, if not 2 billion, that's going to make
it's as good as you'd expect it to be, and looking at it realistically, I mean, me and you will 100% go and see this film.
If it doesn't make least, 1.5 billion, I will be frankly furious.
Because, you know,
they made over $1 billion off Iron Man 3, and Iron Man 3 was a problematic film, but people like it. It spoke to people in a way that, you know, it
had. I like Iron Man 3. We're going to talk about Iron Man soon, which would be fun.
Yeah, we've never really done anything, so we're going to do like an Iron Man retrospective.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But we really need to get the Black Panther preview done, because that's out in 3 weeks, so we really need to get the review out for that.
Should we give Ezra Miller a reprieve, or should we be honest?
Okay, he was probably my single biggest problem with the film, because I don't care what anyone says, he may be a wonderful actor.
He's not.
Is not The Flash, he is not Barry Allen, he is not good enough to be in a superhero film, and he is not good enough to be even on screen with Batman.
And equally, ludicrous. What script they gave him to work with. I mean, the guy is a quirky, indie kind of film star, and he's good in those roles. Don't get me wrong, Perks of Being a Wallflower, really good.
Brie Larson is a darling of indie films, but you see,
yeah, she is
Captain Marvel, and you go, that's Captain fucking Marvel. You see yeah. him dressed up as the Flash, and you go, that's just some nonce in a fucking Flash.
He does. He looks like a bad entry to a Comic Con. Do you know what I mean? He looks. He does. He really does.
Pass me at Comic Con, I would have gone, that is the shittest Flash I've ever seen. He's like, mate, I'm in the Flash film. Fuck off. No, you're not. Because I wouldn't have known him from Adam. I literally would never have known him.
No, because he's not an actor.
Fuck's Ezra Miller.
And it's also like the Jesse Eisenberg conundrum. You know, you could have put Bryan Cranston as Lex Luthor. A guy who's quite tall and quite, you know, even in stature, he looks like a villain.
Well, he's got a lab in his dungeon where he's like cloning people.
Yeah, he looks exactly like an archetypal villain. Jesse Eisenberg is an indie film star, and he's actually a pretty damn good indie film star with the right script and the right process and stuff. But he's not a villain. Ezra Miller is not a superhero in any guise, shape, or form. It just didn't work from the beginning. And if it's not going to be Grant Gustin, fine. All right.
Which
and
if I you're going to do that, stick up my arse about.
Yeah, because that was Zack Snyder being a
shared universe.
Who gives a shit? It doesn't matter.
Three seasons into a TV show, a character that's well established, very well received, and all of a sudden you go, yeah. We're just going to start with someone else. If Ezra Miller is such a good indie character, that's fine. But how is being an indie film star any more worthy than being a TV star?
It's not, especially in modern television.
It's on level pegging. I would have said that Grant Gustin should have had the leg up simply because he's done the role for 3 years and has grown into the character. Because obviously the more you play a character, the more you become the character. Every time you put on the costume, you become a little bit more Flash or Wonder Woman or, you know, whatever character The Rock plays in the fucking Fast and the Furious films.
Yeah, exactly.
You slowly become more and more that character.
Yeah.
And you do.
You're right. You're right.
Crap. The bit that really fucks me off, the bit where they're fighting Superman and Flash runs around him. And they have that really awkward moment where their eyes catch each other. I didn't know whether they were going to fight or start getting off with each other. it was just bizarre.
It just didn't. It didn't work in that regard. He was such an odd one out in terms of the way it worked. And his people like that comic relief and stuff. Because, I'm probably going to insult half our listener base, but I think people...
Every other character was funnier than him.
Exactly.
Aquaman was the comic relief because Jason Momoa must be, what, about 250 pounds of pure fucking muscle?
Exactly.
But he's got brilliant chops and brilliant comedy timing and he makes you chill.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned before
and they
about...
Also, before I finish, rag on Ezra.
Go on.
He's not just a bad Flash, he's a bad Barry Allen.
They make Barry Allen
into this socially awkward, inept little wiener boy. And he's not. Barry Allen is a very popular, very well-respected member of the Justice League. He's massive.
And people are jealous of him because he's almost like a prodigy to Bruce Wayne, isn't he?
There are very few people that Batman trusts, but whenever Batman's got a science question, if he needs help, he goes to Barry Allen and no one else.
I think that's the one thing this film completely failed to get is that any of the actors or characters' skill set, really, they didn't get, you know, they got across that the Flash was
a scientist because obviously he only becomes a scientist at the end, and you know, when he goes to see which was good.
Well, his dad's a good actor as well. Billy Crudup's a good actor. It's a shame again he got 2 minutes of if that screen time, you know. And I know we'll obviously be set up for a future film, but it's just a bit like
fucking
Christ.
This film's gonna give me nightmares.
I know, man. I know.
If anyone's not heard that there was always a plan for a solo Flash film. But now
how many directors have they gone through? About 8?
I think 3. Which
it was realistically 3, which is just
3
mental.
3 doesn't sound like a lot, but...
Well, it
three
is,
in
man.
Directors to, well, 3 is not a big number, but in terms of directors, that means 3 people have been attached to the project and have gone, you know what, I don't fancy
and,
after all.
And the film that is almost in production in that regard. Do you know what I mean? It's not like a film
that's supposed to be out next year.
I know. And that's what I'm saying. It's not a film like... say, you know, when they speculate and say, oh, this director's linked to this film.
Well, like
they're
like,
not officially attached.
Put things on the slate, don't they, and say, right, we're going to make 20 films over the next 10 years. That's what they've actually said. This was before the Fox merger.
Yeah.
And DC come out and go, right, well, we're going to make a Batman film, a Joker film, Suicide Squad,
Sirens,
Gotham City thing. Sirens, yeah. Going to do Nightwing and blah, blah. But then they start attaching directors before there's even a script.
And yeah, I know.
Times now, the Flash directors have gone, fuck this. This just isn't happening.
Yeah, I know. They probably watch Ezra Miller for 2 minutes and went, Jesus Christ, I'm
Which
doing
would
this.
Be fair, because if I was attached to direct that and I saw him in that fucking suit that looked like he made it in shop class or something, I'd probably hang myself using trousers. He's awful. Anyway, enough ragging on Ezra Miller. I could literally do it for another hour.
I know, and I feel good about it. It needed to be done.
I'm going to sleep well tonight.
He's just there having dreams of you kicking the shit out of Ezra Miller.
I fucking could. I'm a skinny bastard. I really am. But that's not good. I should not be able to think that I could take a superhero down because I'm a fucking hell, even I could take him, and I wouldn't say that to Gal Gadot because she'd batter me.
Well, you look at like someone like Paul Rudd, right? Being honest, so Paul Rudd isn't a big guy. He's obviously a comedy actor by trait, and then he bulks up for Ant-Man. So you look at him, and go, shit, this guy's in shape. Do you know what I mean? You look at him, and go, he took the part seriously. He looks the part. He looks like a superhero, and you know, it's the same with Jeremy Renner, who's not. Pretty nondescript kind of guy, but he's certainly toughed up for the roles he's done. And
the big and it's one just, is Hemsworth, isn't it?
Oh, Jesus, I know. Have you seen his brother? Because he's quite similar to his brother in normal build. And his brother's not.
Yeah, Liam Hemsworth is Chris Hemsworth before he got the Thor job.
Before he took steroids.
He was well built, but then you look at him now and he's like, hi, I'm a big giant pile of muscles.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, I know. We did say this, that Ben Affleck did get in shape for the role. He put on a lot of weight and a lot of muscle.
And fair enough. I like that. Like, I really do.
I know. I just wish he really cared about it, man. You know, I do want... Matt Reeves is a really good director. The Apes films, he's done are really good. And he's done some interesting stuff. So I hope it comes off. And I hope they get it right, man. I'm not here to just go, oh, I hope it crashes and burns. Because, fuck, I don't want that. I had one of the best trilogies. Actually, the best trilogy ever made. Is the Batman trilogy out of all the films I've made. I love Lord of the Rings and Back to the Future and whatever else. You know, I want films like that, man. I don't want average films, or I don't even want, you know, even if I'm not going to call, I wouldn't call it a 7-star film. I'd be giving it a 5, but even then, you know, if it was a 7 or a 7-star film, I want 8s and 9s, man. Do you know what I mean? I want to be blown away. And I want visually to be blown away. I want to go in these films and go, fuck yeah, that was amazing, or this part was amazing and that. And, you know, people say about X, Y, and Z about Star Wars, but there's moments in Last Jedi where I was blown away by it. There was. And Blade Runner last year visually just knocked my socks off. And it's great. You know, modern cinema is good for that. That's what it's there for in part. And you still get indie films that are great and you get all these smaller titles. And almost you get more directors with license to make films because Netflix and other areas give people access to these, you know, platforms and stuff. So it's great, but you've got to get these big blockbusters right. Do you know what I mean? You have to nail them. And I just worry. I think that the good news and the good thing about all of this is 650 million is shit. And they're going to know that. Well, and they can't continue.
They've already done a big restructure.
They can't not, mate. I mean, they can't, you know.
There's a new guy has taken over.
Yeah.
As the overall head of these
There has films. To be. There and has
I
to be.
I was just reading something a little bit before in prep for this. The official word as of a few weeks ago from Warner Brothers is that Zack Snyder is not in any way, shape or form associated with a Justice League sequel. But
I don't think he will be. Yeah.
J.K. Simmons... Yeah, I nearly said J.K. Rowling, that'd be even more interesting. J.K. Simmons did say that he was told that the Justice League 2 script is being written now. So whether they're going to move away from Zack Snyder, I don't know. But
I think they'll go in a different direction.
The biggest and best thing they could do would be to give Patty Jenkins, maybe not the role, but use her as a consultant and literally be saying, right, how did you deal with this scenario in Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
If you were faced with an origin story that you knew was going to be a little bit boring, how did you make it so that people stayed interested in all the rest of it?
Yeah, and it's not like, to me, mate, it's not like there aren't directors out there they could go towards.
Well, it's like Marvel do with the Russos. I mean, one thing that's really pissed me off for the criticism of Justice League is how many people have said, yeah, but Avengers.
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to do that either with Marvel.
Now that's to do with cosmic, they consult James Gunn. Whether he's not going to be doing a load of cosmic films, but they ask him what he would do, what he thinks. Anything to do with the big action set pieces, they ask the Russo brothers, what would you do here, what would you do there? And they just use them.
And John Favreau as well, man. You know, like, you look at that. I watched the Iron Man film.
It's going to be the same now.
Yeah, of course he is.
Keep all these directors in the fold, even if you're not working with them exclusively. If you were to ring up Patty Jenkins and say, you know, would you mind working as a consultant for two or three weeks on Justice League 2? She's not going to turn it down because Wonder Woman's in there. It's her.
Well, character. you want CG advice. Disney will go to John Favreau all the time. So he did the remake of The Jungle Book. He obviously did Iron Man. And the guy knows CG. He learnt it the hard way. And now he's an expert.
He's been involved in Marvel, hasn't he, since Iron Man 1. He's always been there. He just hasn't been directing.
No, exactly. And that's the thing. It's continuity, man. And we've said this all along. It's going about things the right way. It's getting everything right in terms of what you're doing. And I'm not there to go, you know, Marvel are great and DC are one of the shit. But I'm not bothered about that at all. And they couldn't keep Nolan on board. I know that.
No.
But there's got to be people connected to Nolan. You know, there's got to be more.
That's a travesty.
Nolan is not a guy that was going to stay on. That's the thing.
He does his thing, doesn't he? He's one of them.
Well, he's gone off to do Dunkirk. He's gone off to do Dunkirk, and he did Interstellar, so he's done the sci-fi elements, you know, combined with Inception, which he did in between one of the Batman films. And he's doing what he wants to do as a director, and that's what they should all do. But there are lots of talented directors that you can work with. Do you know what I mean? And Marvel doesn't have a monopoly. They only have a handful. You know what I mean? It's there are scope to give young, exciting directors, new directors, you know, experienced directors. There's loads of great directors that could do with some work. And I don't know, man. It's just frustrating. You like it when you see directors given the license to really make their films. We always talk about this, but you know, watched Logan again recently. It's just, you know, that's a James Mangold film.
About 2 months ago. I'm going to go back and watch the black and white version.
Oh, it's great as well, man. It really is.
A friend of mine put up a picture of it, and honestly, I was salivating looking at it.
It just got me, man. I think if you've got Sky, the black and white version is also on Sky. Okay. But anyway, it's available. And it's one of those films that's just incredible. But it's a director's film. That's
definitely one thing that you can't say about Justice League to stay on topic.
Well,
no, actually, tell a lie. It is a director's film, but it should be a director film.
It should.
It literally belongs to...
They really... If Snyder had to fall off the project, fine. But bring a director in who's got similarities.
I mean,
do you know what I mean?
You know far more,
and that's what they do. Well, I do to an extent, but equally, you know, you watch a film, you can get a feel. So you watch an Edgar Wright film, you know it's an Edgar Wright film. You watch a Nolan film, you know it's a Nolan film.
All I was going to say is, you know more than I do, but you couldn't say. If somebody turned around and said to me, well, that there's nobody really out there that could have put a film together that's going to look the same as Zack Snyder. You could probably give me a couple of names, whereas I couldn't because I don't really know those things.
Snyder is quite individual, but everyone in the industry would know of a director that would work, you know?
Put it this way, as soon as I heard that Joss Whedon was involved, that got me worried because even I know stylistically, that's chalk and cheese, that's black and white.
Well, it is. It literally light and darkness, man. Do you know what I mean? You're looking at the complete opposite. And I mean, that's what the criticism thrown at Marvel occasionally is. It's too goody-goody and it's too nice. No one dies and all that kind of jazz. But I don't know, man, there's talented people out there, and I just feel like they're not tapping into the right marketplace. I think Matt Reeve is a good option, and I hope they keep, you know, obviously Patty Jenkins and the rest, but they've got to just make it work.
If I was them, I would be getting Patty Jenkins on a long, long retainer, because if they lose her, they lose a very unique opportunity to not just have a good director, but for them to really have a female director.
Yeah, and it pushed a lot of boundaries in a year that is all about issues with male acts.
Happen to women. It's nice to see a woman standing at the forefront.
That's of the industry. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah,
all of you guys, women can do it.
And they can. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, and again, there's a bit of stuff today about the awards season and not enough women directors are being put forward.
I think I'm gobsmacked that Patty Jenkins wasn't nominated.
To an extent, I just think it's not an awards film. Taika Waititi isn't up and people like that.
You said on Twitter the other day, or someone else, yeah, that comic films are never going to get the big awards. They'll get like...
Suicide, I think I retweeted that, Suicide, yeah. Suicide
Squad is the only comic book film to date to ever win an Oscar.
I think for a score... Technical Oscar for something, yeah.
I think it was
sound editing or costume or something, yeah.
You'll get the techie ones, but you'll get the comic film winning best.
Nolan won for Dark Knight and stuff.
Did he?
Well, I don't think he did, but I know Heath Ledger won an Oscar for best male performance or supporting actor. Yeah, he did. And they also won an Oscar, I think, for cinematography.
Well, that
was. No, they won for sound editing. But yeah, Wally Pfister was up for cinematography. I know. But Wally Pfister, who's Nolan's kind of go-to guy for cinematography, was up for an award. So I think they're up for quite a few Oscars for at least The Dark Knight. So, but I think you're right. I think it's not often it comes up that they win Oscars for these types of films, or, you know, so it is what it is. That was good. We kept the fireworks at a very minimal level. No arguing. We can't be dealing with arguing. There's too much shit about football and
so
transfers.
In terms of where it goes next, to finish on a positive note, I really liked the end credits scene with Deathstroke, because Deathstroke is one of my favorites.
Gonna be ace, and really well portrayed in TV. Probably the best, I'd say, the best villain crossover kind of portrayal in a while in any kind of TV stuff. Obviously, we talk quite highly of Daredevil and stuff, but really good in a kind of commercial capacity. So I think it's gonna be really cool to see how they go with that.
Yeah. So as always, we really want to hear your thoughts on it.
Do we have to keep talking about Justice League?
Yeah, we do. All right. I think we're contractually obliged.
Okay, well, we will be doing, you know, we're back now. It's been a while, but we've got lots to do this year, man. It's going to be a big year for films and TV. Jessica Jones and all sorts of stuff out this year for TV.
Jessica
Jones. Runaways is getting some buzz, you know. I might have to watch it.
I haven't watched an episode of it yet.
It's getting some buzz.
Finishes and then I'm going to binge watch it, but apparently it's meant to be shit hot.
Yeah, exactly. So there's some good stuff knocking about at the minute. So there'll be stuff to talk about. We are going to come back, do Black Panther preview and Iron Man kind of trilogy overview, and I don't know, there's loads of other stuff to talk about. So it's always pretty good for us. Big year for films. I don't know, there's loads of films coming out this year, but we're not going to do a preview.
For anyone that wants to come on and do the Infinity War preview.
Yeah, we are going to take...
It has to be cash, but, you know, Rory's
we're open to...
And I've got very, very expensive comic
books. I really like Marvel Lego, so yeah. It's quite expensive. Yeah, I think the Infinity War stuff's going to be pretty big for us, because it's like the culmination of our years of doing these kind of podcasts, you know what I mean? So, but Black Panther to come first, and that's going to be pretty damn exciting. And yeah, people get involved in these, watching a Marvel film every week, you can always catch up. I think it's a really cool countdown to Infinity Wars. I think it's good to watch the films that maybe you wouldn't normally do. You went to watch Hulk again. I wouldn't rush to do that normally, but I think it's quite cool. I loved watching Iron Man with my little boy because he's never watched it before.
I really
loved it.
I was buzzing off Iron Man more than I had
so good.
Since I first watched it.
So good. I forgot how good it was actually. It's almost leapfrogged a few others since I watched it again because I forgot how damn good it is. Yeah, so it's going to be an exciting year for Marvel. DC have got some stuff in the off. Is it Aquaman this year?
Aquaman's out in a couple of months, yeah.
Is it really? Okay. And there's a Dark Phoenix film and Deadpool this year. Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2's come around.
So I can't. It's been quick, man. They've really got down and done it quick. It's really quick. So, yeah. All good, man. Anything else from you?
No, that's it for me. We've run over a little bit, as we tend to do, but as
Rob it's said, been a while.
We'll be back. We'll be back more in a routine. We've literally only been out now just because of the new year. So once that's all out the way, we'll be back to doing sort of a pod every other week. You know where we are on Twitter, so please do carry on interacting with us. And we'll be back with you shortly.
Cool. Take care.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.